Day to remember, Memorial Day. And with our family, this has become a tradition. We appreciate Brother Holt having us up here and just sharing the day. Cassidy is, when we pulled in the thing, she says, "How many times have we been here for this? This is one of my childhood memories." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's one of mine, and I appreciate it, and thank you." Today, I remember our fallen soldiers. I remember some of my soldiers today by name. Staff Sergeant Altamirano, he died in Tikrit, Iraq. Sergeant First Class Lacey, he died in January, Jalalabad, Afghanistan. And then our family pastors mentioned, my dad's brother, my uncle, Charles Clinton Fleet. He died 49 years ago today. You know, a soldier that died on Memorial Day, which was also his father's birthday. Man, rough. And I have my mother-in-law here with us. We have her. We're visiting with us today. And she has two brothers, one in Korea, missing in action, Sergeant Philip Peterson, and then Sergeant Marlon Peterson, who lost his life in Vietnam. And then, Facebook, there's a lot of trash on there a lot of times, but just sobering effect. Somebody had a Memorial Day post on there, and it said, you know, while you're out doing whatever you're doing this weekend, Memorial Day, remember the 645,000 soldiers who gave their lives for our country. That's sobering. Sobering. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to live in a country as America where we have our religious freedom, to be able to share the gospel with others, to be able to enjoy our freedoms that so many countries do not have. Dear Lord, I pray that you be with me today as I bring the message that, while a not deep theological message, it is practical Christian living that I know I as a Christian fail at, need to work at, need to be better at, because I want to represent you. Dear Lord, Memorial Day is also befitting as we think of your sacrifice on the cross for us, that we be able to have salvation, to be able to have eternal life. I pray that you just watch over us now in these few moments. Be with me. Calm my nerves. Be with me. Give me the words to say. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want to open your Bibles, you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. As I said in my prayer, it's not a deep theological message today, but something the Lord is, I tried to like go away from it, you know, and when you're preparing for a message, you're like, man, I'd really like to preach this. I heard that. That would be cool. Lord, that's great. But then the Lord just, he just has a way of laying it on your heart and is like, no, that's not what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My question to you and the question that I've been struggling with is, do people see Christ living in me? People see Christ living in me? I've shared with you before, my youngest son, McCoy, he's named after a gate guard at Fort Benning. Because Jimmy McCoy, every time you would come through the gate, rain, snow, shine, on guard, smile, ear to ear. Welcome to Fort Benning, home of the infantry. You have a great day. And just the joy in that man's heart. And I finally asked him one day, I said, I've got to ask, you know Jesus, don't you? He says, oh, he's been in my heart a long time. Man, Jimmy McCoy, I can still see his smiling face. Just the joy to be around. We would go from one side of it because they had multiple lanes going on the post, and we'd be looking in the car. He's on that gate. We'd cut people off, and we'd get over there to see Jimmy McCoy. But, you know, that was, McCoy's going to be 13 years old. That was 13 years ago. And I learned a great lesson from Jimmy McCoy that I've forgotten over the years. That joy that people see in somebody. They see it. He was letting his light shine before men. So I work at Amazon. Somebody asked me, still working for Amazon? Yeah, as long as they'll keep me, we'll keep delivering those packages. Keep taking in those returns. Recently got moved up to an operations manager, a little bit more responsibility. To me, it's an easier job. It's more like what I was used to in the Army, you know, being more in charge. That was awesome. But as I have that, you know, your branch of employees, I think I have like 500 people there that I'm with. And, you know, you try to get, just like in the military, I try to get to see all my soldiers. I try to get around to see all my employees. A great leader told me one time, he says, try to learn one thing about everybody that works for you. Make it personal for them. So, you know, I know a lot of people's grandkids. I know the people that are in college. I know the people that, you know, something about them, their hobbies. Try to learn that one thing. Man, had a new employee. Before I even met her, I had heard about her. I talked to her, and I'm going to mention her by name. Her name's Kaylee Schmidt. I had heard about her. People talking about this young girl. She's a tiny thing, but trying to work, and then big packages and everything. But they said, whisperings, you know, man, that girl has energy. She's positive. She's just amazing. I just don't know what's up with that girl. Well, it was right before my promotion, and I had to go around and we deliver weekly feedback. You know, you want to let people know how they're doing on their job. And actually, Kaylee wasn't doing so well. She was a little bit behind and wasn't doing that well, and she was struggling. And I'd been on vacation, and so I go up to her and meet her for the first time, and I'm delivering not so great news, you know. Hey, need to talk to you about your job performance, and it's really not where it's be. And she is looking at me with a smile and bright eyes that is just like, and she puts her hands on her hips, and she's just listening to me, and she goes, I'm just really trying. She goes, it's a struggle for me. She goes, I get distracted very easy, and I'm a talker, and I like to talk, and man, her energy was like, man, we just harness this right. This is going to be awesome. But she has just a great attitude. And then there's that smile. That smile, that joy in her heart. I knew what it was immediately. So convicting. So convicting. You know, we all have our struggles, and I'll just share one of mine with you. Is probably before all my deployments, and as much as my family tries to tell me, they'll say, you're not the same joyous person you were. You know, you don't smile. And, you know, your first and natural defense is to defend yourself. I smile. What are you talking about? I'm happy. I have joy. But in your heart of hearts, you know what they're saying. You know, military career is a sergeant major walking around. I'm serious. And if you mess that up, I'm going to be on you like white on rice in a paper plate in a snowstorm. Hey. You know, because if you don't do your job right, somebody could lose their life. And we take that very serious. You know, sergeant majors aren't somebody that people just run out to meet. He'll tell you. They avoid you like the plague. You know, you'll be walking down the sidewalk and you'll see a young soldier walking up and you'll be like, I'll be able to check out that soldier's day. As soon as he makes eye contact from you about 75 feet away, he's making a right. He's going to walk around a parking lot, go around a building before he doesn't have to walk past you. Because he knows you're going to point out something wrong on his uniform. You're going to tell him to pick up some trash. You're going to tell him he needs a haircut. Yeah. And then on deployments, you know, you want to, I think you put on that facade because you just want to convince yourself you're bulletproof. And you can hold people at arm's distance. And you might not be that joyous person everybody talked about. So that's my struggle. And then there's Kaylee Schmidt, who I'm seeing every day at work. And fellow Christians with me, and I'm at my station cart, and they have mobile carts and computer carrying around, checking on different things that you have to do. And he's talking to me, and here comes Kaylee. Had to ask me a question. Big bright eyes, smile, just happy. And she's joy and energy, and we had the conversation, and she walked away, and the other person standing right next to me is a Christian, professing Christian, and he goes, I don't know what that girl has, but I want some of it. I said, you know what's sad? You have that in your heart, and I have that in my heart, and we're not releasing it. People are not seeing Christ in me. I'm over there holding up a matchstick, hiding it under a bushel, and old Kaylee has a floodlight that's shining out the whole world, telling people about her Christ. Do people see Christ living in you? That girl has been, me and my wife have had several conversations. Always ends up with me being defensive. She goes, well, you know, you used to, no, I was never that way. Yeah. I want people to see Christ in me. As Christians, we should want people to see Christ living in us. So what is it? What is it about her that just is magnanimous? I'll tell you what, it starts with a smile. Smile. He just smiled at me. That's cool. I looked down there, and since I made eye contact, he gave me a smile. I appreciate that. That makes me feel great. People smiling. My wife's smiling at me now. She's like back there, you were right. You know, I was right. You were less right. We do that in our house. She knows. But smile. You ever see how a smile, when you see somebody, it just relaxes people? You know, I will admit, I'm, you know, when it comes to kids, love kids to death. And I know I can be a little bit scary, you know, I'm in that league of powerful bald men. Kids tend to be scary of us, so, you know, I'll disarm a kid with a smile. Usually a piece of candy works really well. I use that on my employees too. I hand them a smile and a piece of candy, you know. We need to smile as Christians. We have a lot to smile about. You know, we can get weighed down, you know, with parenting our children and dealing with jobs and work and bills. And we can get down and we can find a lot to be depressed about. But we have more to be happy about. We have joy. One of the, when I was going through Bible college, I would take, and one of the professors I had was Dr. Gary Habermas. Some of you might have heard of him. Or recently there is a movie A Case for Christ. And Joe Stoble, who wrote the book and that came to Christ through his investigative reporting, one of the people he interviewed was Dr. Habermas. Now, Dr. Habermas was, I don't know how old he was, I think he's probably in his mid-30s, had 5 children, and his wife was diagnosed with cancer, and his wife died. Yeah, tough to deal with. That's not going to put too much of a smile on your face. And what he did is, you know, as he looked at his children, he wanted without a doubt to be able to tell his children, you will see your mother again. Your mother is in heaven. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you will see her again. So in order for our salvation to be true, Christ had to risen from the cross. The resurrection. Dr. Habermas did his whole paper and his whole study, and he became the leading apologetics on the resurrection. And he debate anybody using history to prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wow. That God used that in his life. But one of the things that I learned the most from him is he said, as Christians, you need to practice top-down thinking. Yes, you might have marital problems. You might have problems with your children. You might have problems with bills, health issues. But if you practice top-down thinking, everything's going to be all right. Because foremost, he says, you need to start at the top. And where is that? That's with your salvation. You have your salvation with Jesus Christ. Everything is possible. Eternal life, you can get it. You know, prior to speaking the message, and if I was going to use her name, I wanted to talk to Kaylee. You know, I hadn't really talked to her outside of work, and so I asked her, I said, hey, when you're on break, if you wouldn't mind, would you share a word of testimony with me? I would love to. That would be awesome. So we go off to the side, and yeah, she does remind. It must be a Kaylee thing, because my daughter-in-law has the same energy. You know, Kaylee, my daughter-in-law, she blows into the house. You know she's there. What's up? Hey, everybody! You know, and she's like, that's the way Kaylee is at work. She's awesome. I pulled her over there, and people are kind of walking around. And on the way to the break room, I bet that girl shook everybody's hand in there that we were passing. And she goes, hey, you have a great day. How are you doing? Hey, Kaylee. Everybody's waving at her. That energy is just infectious. So we get off to the side over there. And I said, so give me a testimony. She goes, I could go into horrid details about an abusive family life that I was in. And she said, throughout all of that, she said, the only thing that kept me going was my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She says, I will tell everybody about my Lord and Savior, and to have an opportunity to tell them. I could tell that she was going to be embarrassed to tell me the things that she had went through. And you know, you can see when somebody's talking to you that if they've experienced hurt, and if they've experienced abuse, and they've experienced pain. But you know what? What do I see when I look at her? I see Christ living in her. She, you know, a beacon. Do people see Christ living in us? And aren't we smiling at people to disarm them? My wife, I made her cry yesterday. You know, anytime I get in uniform, you know, because I like my whiskers now that I'm retired, I feel I have to shave them off. And in fact, my oldest son that did this with me today, Logan, he was like, well, I ain't going to do it if you're going to have whiskers. You're not supposed to have facial hair if you're in uniform. Yeah. So I woke up yesterday morning before I went downstairs. I took it all off and went downstairs in the living room. McCoy laughed at me. Cassidy is like, who are you? And my wife started crying. That's not the man I'm married to. You know? But I think sometimes I can hide behind that. Maybe that's my excuse. They don't see my smile behind my beard, so maybe I need to trim it up a little bit more. But I need to be smiling. The first thing I want people to see in me is a smile. I want there to be something in me when they see me that they say, that's different. He's different. I want that in my life. So if you're people are seeing that in you, and then you're smiling, you know what? You're going to get an opportunity. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if you're out there, and people are seeing Christ in you, and you're smiling, they're going to be drawn to you. And they're going to ask you, like they asked Kaylee, what's different? And then that's when Kaylee is going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Now you say, oh man, that is like, whoa, I don't know if I could do that. That's difficult. All them Bible verses and everything. Yeah. I don't know. If you read in the book of Acts, when you're talking to the Apostle Paul, there's three separate times before kings and poor great crowds of people. He had the opportunity to present the gospel message. And you know what he did? He just gave his testimony. Now, think about it. The Apostle Paul, he could have laid down. He had been a Pharisee trained up from the time he was a young pup. He could have laid down some theology on them that would have scared people to death in his knowledge. But what did he do? He just took them back to that time. He says, here's where I was in my life. I was persecuting Christians, throwing them in prison, having them killed. But I was on this road to Damascus. and I met Christ. Yeah. Share your testimony. You know, Pat, Brother Holden mentioned it. You go down here, I think it's two more roads, make a left like you're going to Versailles. Go down there on the left, right on the right. There's a church there called Green Chapel Baptist Church. That was my center of my universe from the time I was probably 5 years old till we moved and went to, till I became a teenager. But that was the center of my universe. We ate, slept, church. We weren't at home. We were either at my Aunt Kay's and Uncle Bob's, my Aunt Judy's, or we were at church. Dinner on the grounds, old-fashioned day out there. Great. All my friends were church friends. You know, enjoyed playing all those games with the kids and in church. But you know, one Wednesday night, I was sitting in the church service right up there on like the third row. You know, I wasn't allowed to sit far from my mom. She had to be able to thump me on the back of the head if I was acting up. I wasn't like the other kids. I had to sit in front of my mom. But something about that message, the preacher, he started preaching, and it got my attention. You know, I went from church playing and having all my friends to Holy Spirit working on my heart. He was talking about heaven, and he was talking about hell, which I don't think we do enough of anymore. But, you know, Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. It's why? He didn't want you to be there. And as I sat there and the Holy Spirit was working on me, because I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. And from what the message of that pastor was saying, the only way, there's nothing I could do. I couldn't be a good enough little boy. I couldn't do enough good deeds to get myself there. There's only one thing that was going to get me to heaven, and that was faith in Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross. God's simple plan of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. And as I sat there on that pew, I felt the tugging of the Holy Spirit. Go forward. Go forward. You need to get saved. You are lost. I don't know if it's pride or being scared as a kid. I didn't go forward. Went home. Went out there to the old farmhouse. Up in my bedroom. And my bedroom was so small, it was one of those, the walls go up about 3-4 feet on one side, and then they go whoop up like that. So if you crawled into bed too fast, you might hit your head. And I remember laying there in bed and that ceiling just like 18 inches above my face. And the Holy Spirit was talking to me. If you don't accept Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. If you don't accept Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. And man, I was just like the Philippian jailer. I had had enough. I was like, I know who can help me with this. Man, I scared my parents to death. I come bursting down the stairs, burst right into their bedroom door, probably 1 o'clock in the morning, and fell down, and they're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I was like, what must I do to be saved? And you know, my mother, she reached over to the nightstand, pulled out her Bible, and sat there and shared it with me. And I accepted Christ. When I think of all my children, Logan got saved in a McDonald's drive-thru. I'm telling you, it's the best thing he ever got from McDonald's. Yeah. Taylor, she accepted Christ. And then Autumn, I led Autumn to, Autumn has almost had like a dad experience. She came downstairs and she got saved in our living room in Colorado Springs. Then Cassidy got saved after that. Then McCoy was the only one left. And we were in Texas, and I was putting the kids to bed. And Cassidy, she must have been working on McCoy. Because when I walked in there, they were talking about Jesus. And Cassidy was concerned that McCoy hadn't accepted him. And McCoy knew it backwards and forwards. And he said, all right, I know I need to get saved. He says, I'm going to get saved tomorrow when I go to church. I said, excuse me, but, you know, if that's how you really feel about it, we can do this right now. Right here, right here, right now.
Today.
We got his mother, we got his sister, McCoy, and we knelt there by McCoy's bed, and McCoy trusted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. You know, my dad saved, my mom saved, my sister saved, my nephew saved. He just graduated from Bible college. He's a youth pastor up in Manson, Ohio. That's awesome. My niece is saved. If you know the Fleeks, you need to be saved. You know what? Because we want to do this and enjoy your company for eternity.
Amen.
Eternity. I don't know about you, but I don't like missing people. I don't like missing people. I'll close with this. We were helping my mother-in-law move and had a lot of different paperwork to go through. And as I was going through that paperwork, I saw an envelope that immediately drew my attention. Because up in the right-hand corner of that envelope, it says MPS. Some of you might know what that means. But MPS means Military Postal Service. You know, it's one of the great things about being a soldier, you don't have to pay for stamps. You can be out in the middle of the jungle. You can be in the deserts of Iraq and the mountains of Afghanistan. You can scribble something down on a MRE box, put an address and write MPS up in the corner, and it's going to show up on somebody's doorstep. So I opened it up. I was curious, who is it from? If I may, I didn't ask my mother-in-law's permission, but I'll just share. It was from her brother Marlon. It is a letter home to her. He was in Vietnam. He said, "Man, I'm enjoying these cookies you sent me. They're so good." He says, "I didn't open them up in front of the guys. I didn't want to share." I've been there. You're like getting that package, you don't want to really tell, because if you open it up, you got to share it with everybody. But he had done it, and in my mind, I could just see it plain as day, as I've done it. You know, you get that package from home, that's special.
Yeah.
So he said, "I snuck over to the mess hall. I'm over here in the back corner. I got me a cup of coffee, and I'm eating these cookies as I write you a letter." I can see that soldier as plain as day doing that. As I read through the letter, you know, he was like, "Hey, these are going to taste so much better when I'm at home and they're fresh out of the oven and you're handing them to me and we're going to catch up and life's going to be great." Then up in the corner of that paper, it had 79. Breaks my heart. I know what that 79 means. That means 79 more days till I'm home. Kathy, every deployment I went on, I got me a calendar and I hung it next to my bunk or whatever, and that was the highlight of my day, going over there and taking a black marker and just boom. And I would count from the day I was going back, I'd count all the way up until, every soldier does it, it could tell you how much time he has left before he's back with the ones he loved. 79. He didn't have 79 days. He came back in a flag-draped coffin. He died. Reminded me, my dad has all in the bottom of his gun cabinet. He has an old shoebox. I don't know if it's still there, but he has all the letters from his brother. They wrote him. Different numbers up there in the corner. My dad will tell you that he would pray for his brother every day. And then he got the word, "Hey, he's coming home. He's coming home. He's less than 30 days and he's going to be home." That was in April when he died, on the 27th of May. Why do I say that? You don't know how much time you have. One thing you can't put off is your salvation. If you haven't made that right with God, today needs to be the day. You might not have 79 days. You might not have 30 days. Sometimes you might even feel like you're bulletproof. You know, as my last deployment, I was traveling all over the country. I'm a sergeant major, and I mean, come on, we take good care of our soldiers. I have a Kevlar helmet. I have a bulletproof vest that weighs 45 pounds, praise the Lord. And it's hot outside. I got a gun. I got grenades. I am a bad man. I'm going to throw down and put some hurting on you if you mess with me. That's what I'm going to do. And I came back. I felt invincible. But you know that Sergeant Major that replaced me? Command Sergeant Major Martin Herreras? Just 45 days after I left, he was doing the same job I was doing, and he got taken out by a sniper. That has haunted me. That has haunted me. I thank my Lord every day that he allowed me to come back safe to my family. Why do I say that? The Bible says, you don't know what tomorrow. Don't boast thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what that day is going to bring forth. My challenge to you is make sure that we're, as Christians, we're living a life that people see Christ living in us. Smile at people. Smile, people. Let people know that you have Christ living in you. And then be looking for those opportunities to share the gospel with everybody. Because you don't know. You do not know how much time you have left.